Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's 34 time.
34, you wanted more. So here's the score. It's at 34.
That's right. And is 34 anything?
No, it's got a boring number, 34.
Yeah.
Not much to it.
It's a squiggle and then a little box on a stick, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the weapons were for 3 and 4.
Oh, well, a 4 was that weird thing that our friend of the podcast sent in, and I put it on Instagram, that weird Central African knife.
Yeah, with, they're called like the djembe or something.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds right. And a 3.
That sounds sharp.
What's a 3? Like that Klingon...
3, it's like a shield, isn't it, with a handle in the middle?
Ooh, yes.
Or a stretched bow.
A compound bow.
A compound bow.
Yes, okay, well, there you go, listeners. And for anyone who hasn't listened to that exact episode, we had a long chat one, fuck knows how long ago now, about what numbers look like weapons.
Yeah, which weapons numbers look like.
Yeah.
So one is like an arrow.
Or a spear.
Or a spear. 10 is a spear and a shield, side by side. We had people send in what they thought, what weapons they thought numbers looked like. And it was a really great segment, and I think it really kicked off the podcast in those early days.
Yeah. Everyone thought we were great and smart and funny and cool. And that is beyond doubt. What have you been up to, Phil? Let me just adjust this here. Sorry, listeners.
What have I been up to? Yeah. Oh, I meant to tell you, I got a massage.
You got a Masagi?
Yeah, I got a Mr. Masagi, which is actually potentially racy because the masseuse was a Japanese man. He was Mr. Masagi.
The masseur.
Is the masseuse a lady?
Yeah.
Is it?
A masseuse is only lady time.
Oh.
Masseur is that, because it's French, so.
Oh, my sir.
Masseur. My sister.
Yeah, it's my sis. If it's a lady, it's my sis. That's how you remember it. That's the mnemonic for... my sir or my sis.
Yes, yes, yes. Anyway.
He's a Japanese guy.
Yeah.
So he's...
Did he wax on, wax off your balls?
Come on. Yes, more of that, please. So this... I only found this massage place because I was walking through Soho and I needed a massage.
And Soho?
Around the area.
High risk.
Well, exactly. So I opened up Google Maps and I just type in massage. And all these places with like 3 reviews dot around the place. And you look at the photo and it's just like a door.
Yeah.
And so you have to try and sift through all of that. And eventually I found this guy who gives massages under the leisure center. The council leisure center in the area.
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, there's one on Marshall Street, the Marshall Street Leisure Center.
Oh,
it's
God.
Right in the middle of town, right by Oxford Street. And I went over and I got a brochure, like a little leaflet. He wasn't available that day. But then I texted him and we arranged a massage. This bit's not important. And when I turned up, I went downstairs into the basement of the leisure center. And there's this sort of makeshift spa down there. And I walk in and there he is. And he's this very slim Japanese man called Tommy. And he says, please come in. And I go in and I get naked. And I lie on the table.
Yeah.
And he's a very sort of polite, smiley man. And he goes over and he washes his hands.
Reassuring smile.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not like...
Yes, take all your clothes off. Oh, I won't look. Oh, there isn't a peephole in the door. And then he got some oil on his hands as I was laid down, and he started massaging me on the back. And apropos of nothing, without me saying anything to him, he just started this sort of speech. He went, my name is Tommy. I have been in the UK for 25 years. I have a UK passport now, but I have not rescinded my Japanese citizenship. And the whole while I'm just like, what? And he keeps going, I used to work in the Canary Islands, in Fuerteventura, one of the Canary Islands. They have beautiful beaches. Canary Islands, subtropical climate. Some of their beaches are ranked 23rd best in the world. Whoa. By Time Out Mag. And he just starts telling me about Fuerteventura, yeah, and the Canary Islands without me saying, and I haven't said a word.
Yeah.
And then he starts going, flights to Canary Islands are very reasonable. You can go EasyJet, Ryanair. Flights, return flights are £50, as little as £50, sometimes even less. And I, at this point, I'm thinking like a brochure for the Canary Islands is just going to slide under that hole in the bed under my face.
Or what's going to slide under the table under your face is an estate, a travel agent.
Yeah.
Like a full person. Just
in a suit.
Yeah, and they're going to be nodding at you like, yeah.
Can I interest you in a package holiday to the Canary Islands? And every time I like, because I thought this meant he wanted to chat. So I'd be like, oh yeah. And so, how long were you there? And he'd be like, shh. And he'd keep telling me about, he'd be like, yeah. Anyway, the Canary Islands. And I was like, oh, he just wants to tell me about the Canary Islands. And then at one point, like that, he finished saying that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. So I said, so how long have you been working at Marshall Street Leisure Centre? But he didn't, instead of answering the question, he like started the Wikipedia page for Marshall. He said, the Marshall Street Leisure Centre was founded in the 1930s. And I was like, so this guy, if you ask him a question about something, he will not answer he just has to start, he has to tell you about the entire subject.
He's like J.R.R. Tolkien.
Right.
It's like if you try and read Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, everything has a footnote because it's like he has to tell you the whole history of that particular fortress.
Yes.
He feels like you won't be able to fully understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Without everything.
Yeah. Talking to this guy is like clicking on blue words in Wikipedia articles to other Wikipedia. Like you can't, you will not take you just straight to the answer you want. You have to read through the whole thing to get it.
Does the burger come with, what kind of cheese does the burger come with? In 1730, a cheesemaker named Maurice Chevalier moved to the Loire Valley where, you can't make a decision, Phil, without the full info.
Yeah. But good massage. He really got in there.
Sounds like he was massaging your mind.
Yeah.
With facts.
Yeah, swimming around in there, giving my neurons a little squeeze.
Yeah.
At one point to loosen up the muscles under my shoulder blades, he literally like, got me to fold my arm in a way, and then like got his hands around like my shoulder blade, and just pulled it away from my body. Like just grabbed, like you could feel him holding onto the plate there. And he just went, and then like just got he just sort of crouched down and sort of leveraged himself against the table. Just went, and just like pulled my shoulder blade away from my body. That's great.
Was it good?
It was great.
It sounds violent.
It was. It was really good. He really got in there.
Oh man.
He put some hot stones on me. He massaged me with hot stones, which I was really scared about, but yeah. It's lovely.
Maybe I should go. But now, you know, spoiler alert, I know all about the Canary Islands.
Yeah, maybe he'll talk about something else with you. Maybe he'll say he's from some... Maybe he'll be like the Joker in The Dark Knight. He has a different origin story every time you talk to him.
Yeah. He's like a randomly generated NPC. He'll just say, I'll go, and he'll be Taiwanese.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, I used to work in Malaga. And Malaga. And you go, wow, this is weird.
How about you, Pierre? What have you been up to?
Well, we've both just been up to some laksa.
Yes, we just ate some laksa.
I never had laksa before.
You didn't tell me that was your first ever laksa.
I thought if I told you were taking my laksa virginity, it would put too much pressure on us, Phil, to enjoy ourselves.
I guess so.
I don't think I've ever had laksa.
Very competent.
Thank you. It was very good.
It was very tasty. If you all live in London, head over to Sambal Shock on Holloway Road. Absolutely delicious stuff. Proper Malaysian fare. Really good, really delicious prawns we had.
If like me, you doubt your ability to spell Sambal Shock, from hearing it, just search Holloway Laksa.
Holloway Laksa will get you there. It's Sambal Shock.
Yeah. It's great. It was fantastic. Really delish. I don't dislike prawns, but I don't particularly like them. They've always tasted a bit like rope made of meat to me in terms of texture. But these, listeners, were tender, tender prawns. They were like good steak, these prawns.
Yeah, delish, juicy, and and we called them softcore prawns.
Yeah, prawnographic.
They're really real softcore prawns because they were soft in the core. for me, prawns are the one difficult bit of proof that maybe there is an intelligent designer.
Really?
Because here in this weird little alien, if you peel off its, if you cook it and you peel off its shell, is a perfect capital C of meat.
Right. Okay, so it's like the convenience aspect of just
yeah,
like
you just unwrap it and it's like a banana of meat.
But that's
And there's a little poo entrail, but you just have to, it's very easily accessible on the top, you just and it's gone.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a perfect sea of meat. What maybe there is a god. He's made of sea of meat in the sea.
Listeners, what other meat looks like letters and vice versa?
Oh, no.
But a lot of intelligence.
A giraffe is an H.
A giraffe is an H of meat.
It is an H of meat, isn't it, a giraffe?
It's a really high person on a safari. Look, what's that giant H doing?
a large lowercase H.
But the creationists use bananas all the time.
Right.
Because they go, look, it comes in a wrapper.
Yeah.
You know, you can just eat it. It's like a perfect energy pod, and it fits right in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember seeing a comic once where a guy went, you know what else fits right in your hand? My dick. And in your butt, too. And the guy's like, no, not like that. And bananas, of course, had to be bred for ages to not have giant nutties in them, big old seeds.
Of course.
Yeah, so it's not quite, isn't it? I mean, if anything, they're a product of very targeted evolution and breeding.
Well, exactly.
But anyway.
The other example the creationists use is the eye, the famously imperfect eye.
Yeah,
that fucks up all the time.
The thing that if it can't see something, ignores it. If it can't fully comprehend something, decides that it can't see it.
And has a blind spot.
Yeah. And can't move smoothly. Your eyes always move in jumps.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
There's some kind of weird trick you can do on yourself where if you look at your watch then away then back, the second hand will have looked as if it's gone backwards.
Yes.
I've not been able to do it myself.
Check it out. Look it up, listeners, and amuse yourselves if you have an analog watch.
What? How? I'm going to try and do it now. Take. Huh? No, that's not done it. Is this good radio?
Phil looks like he's seeing if someone is late to snipe a politician he's having a lunchtime meeting with. Because he's looking up down at his watch and he's looking up and away in a very suspicious,
very
manner.
Suspicious manner.
Yeah. But the laksa was great and it was spicy.
Very hot.
Spicy.
And it's funny, I turned up and the lady whose restaurant it is, Mandy, recognized me. From being Malaysian, and she said, "Oh hi, Phil, thank you so much for coming." And I said, "Oh hi, good to meet you."
Yeah.
And then we sat down, and then a lady I know called Zing, who works at Vice, was also there eating laksa, and she's Singaporean.
Yeah.
And then she came over and said hi, and then Pierre was like, "This is like the."
It's like you're in the mob.
Yeah, it's like Southeast Asian mafia. This is where I would sit all day if I was head of the East Asian mafia.
Because
we're just accepting sort of greetings and
and prawns.
And prawns, yeah.
Because we came in and she like shook your hand and stuff. So I do think to the other diners, they were like, "What the fuck is happening?"
And I didn't get a handshake.
Yeah, all the Asian people in the room know this guy and are coming to his table to say hello. I mean, the reason she knew you as well is also because I was speaking to Evelyn Mock. Because she works on their podcast that she does with Nigel Ung.
Uh-huh.
Which is Rice to Meet You.
Rice to Meet You.
Check
to
it
meet
out.
To Meet You. Rice. Yeah, do check that one out. I've not listened to an episode yet, but I cannot wait. And I think I'm going to do one in a bit, so that'll be a very Asian episode.
It'll be deep Asian. I think you have to be Asian to go on. You have to have an Asian connection.
Mm-hmm,
and last night
for now, let's see how tightly they hold on to that rule when they run out of all the Asians in about six episodes.
Well, not all the Asians, but
oh, not all the Asians. Yeah, that's gonna take a few more.
That's a lot of podcasts, a billion podcast episodes.
Imagine if that was a new Chinese government policy. A TV in every home and a podcast episode for every person.
A podcast in every laptop.
Everyone has a podcast in them, you know, Pierre. Everyone's got a podcast in them.
I think so. I think that's true. And I think some people's podcasts are like... Some people's... The podcasts you'd have in some people are just horrific. What would Boris Johnson's podcast be, for example?
David Davis had a podcast.
No,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, he had a podcast for a very little bit that wasn't very successful.
They're called I'm Old. He has some old things that I think.
I can't remember what it was about.
Oh my God.
Speaking of which, we had Luxa and then came back and instantly watched some Parliament voting results.
Yes, yes, the Letwin Amendment. Listeners,
it's been a real fun-packed day.
By now, listeners, you will have... Brexit will have changed in about 11 more different ways. But as we sit here and record this, the government has just been defeated on the Letwin Amendment. And if you're listening from not the UK and don't understand it, that's fine. Most of us don't either. It basically delays Brexit till the end of January.
Again,
this will never end. We live in hell. And that's it. You just have to have this forever now, by the way. Enjoy.
Has anyone, and I don't know if I'm going on a limb here, but has anyone considered turning the UK off and then on again?
And then on again?
Yeah, and then on again. And then maybe, because you know...
Has anyone thought about doing a hard reset? That was listeners of this podcast. Do keep tagging Bud Pod underneath the tweets of people trying to do this.
And it's
jokes.
A bit awkward because we know our friends with a lot of those.
We do know a lot of them, and they go like, "Oh, the final season of the UK," and it's like we're getting tagged in it, and you go, "Oh no, our slams have become broadcastable."
Yeah, it's actually the Pod Buds are putting. They are a source of real worry for some comics now who maybe don't know about the podcast, but are getting these sort of mysterious messages from people going, "Ooh, they're doing it."
Yeah. And they're going, "Oh no, what have I done? This is bad."
That's what cancel culture has done to people.
Yeah, fear.
Fear. Pure paranoia. So just relax your body, and I will massage your trapezium muscles on your shoulders. There we go. Oh dear, your muscles are so tense. Very tense, just like the new film Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix. A very tense movie, very exhilarating. Highly recommended. 5 stars. Now just moving my hands down your body to your rib cage. Your rib cage there. Oh, very, very, very large, very voluminous. What is also very voluminous are the new, is 1 liter bottle of Coca-Cola. High volume amount of cola, refreshing Coca-Cola for you to drink. The classic recipe of Coca-Cola. Fight thirstiness now. Now moving my hands down to your lower back. Your lower back is a very important part of your torso. It is the central engine for many of your movements. If you want to improve your movements around the City of London, may I recommend the new taxi service captain? The new, it's a new Uber Kira. It's easy, very fast. Reaction, a lot of drivers, they will get to you very quick, and also the company is very proud to say that it pays its taxes unlike Uber. Now moving down to your buttocks. Your buttocks are also called your gluteus maximus. Maximus Aurelius was the gladiator in the classic film Gladiator, starring Russell Crowe and directed by Ridley Scott. It tells the story of a foreign Roman general who finds himself a Rory gladiator who has to fight for his freedom under the tyrannical gaze of a mad and jealous new Caesar. Also played by Joaquin Phoenix. Quite a coincidence there. Both films I have recommended you today star Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix is an actor, and Phoenix is a legendary bird. It's thought to have been born off frame. It is elemental and animal. Okay, now I wake you off.
So, Phil, me and my flatmate were having this debate earlier this very day.
Oh.
He did not wash his hair before a haircut.
Right.
He woke up, put on some clothes, had breakfast, noodled around, and then went for his haircut.
And they don't wash his hair?
I don't think so.
Because my barber, they wash my hair.
Well, you can't. The place where he's going has the facilities.
Ah. But the cut he gets does not include the wash.
And then he comes home, and his justification is that he washes it after, and that is when you get rid of all the little the bitty bots.
I think a haircut is one of those before and after numbers. I think getting them to cut dirty hair just feels wrong.
His argument was that because they're spraying it with water and running a comb through it while they cut it anyway. So not that cleans it, but that it's not affecting their ability to cut, but it just feels, it feels grubby to me.
It does feel grubby.
I'm glad you're saying this, because I thought I'd gone mad.
So you wash your hair.
Yeah, always, and then I won't.
I just imagine you in the shower with a hairnet on now, a little, one of those puffy,
to keep it perfect.
Oh, you're in a tub with a little rubber duck, and you've got that hair protector thing on.
With one of those long back scrubbers.
Soap on a steak.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you're saying that, because I thought, am I a sort of excessively clean Victorian for thinking this now? I was worried it was one of those things that I'm going to discover. I've been going above and beyond.
Thing is, when I go to the barber, my head is his canvas. All right, and a canvas has to be cleaned. Okay, it's a white canvas. I need to clean the canvas so that the artist can do his work. I don't want to give him a dirty canvas. I suppose that'll be my argument.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because I mean, if that's I just don't like the idea of someone silently going ugh, while they rub your head. They're going ugh. What a dirty lad.
They must have seen some horrible stuff. I mean, barbers probably have seen. And do you reckon they've ever got lice on their hands? Like they've seen lice just go.
Oh, maybe. I know. I know that my flatmate once had to go for a haircut. That he has a thing where if he's got something booked in, he just has to go do it, even though he'd booked it in for an early on a Saturday morning, and he'd got really drunk and slept in a hedge.
Yeah.
And he went to the barber's, and they're just cutting his hair da-da-da, and they're and had to take out a big twig. from a kind of forest character.
Like he was Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, exactly. But she just removed it an actual piece of forest. Oh God.
Fell asleep in a hedge.
He had a nap in a hedge, yeah. He was in those days in our youth, he was a booze napper. And parties in summer were very sort of outdoorsy, rural affairs.
Oh, this is on the island?
Mm-hmm. Ah. Not in the UK, no.
The island.
This is on the island. Rules are different on the island.
Oh, did you see that? I've not been able to watch it, but the clip of a guy in Question Time talking about Ireland.
Oh, I haven't watched it, but
the island of Ireland. And he basically says, why don't we just let Ireland and Northern Ireland just be an island together? And we look after ourselves. Like he just come up with the idea.
Like I saw someone saying that this guy in a black what you might call a demi neck, had just organically come up with the idea of a united Ireland. It's just like some English guy going, "What if they were all the same place?" It's yes. I saw someone, Alison Spithel, who's very funny.
Yeah,
she retweeted someone going our great Fenian fathers, a patriotic pro Irish independence thing, and it was a picture of I don't know, Eamon de Valera, Michael Collins, in black and white in suits, those Victorian politician photos. And then this guy, a screenshot of this guy. And it's yes, the great progenitor.
But I so want to see his face when he realized he'd become...
Sinn Féin.
Oh, no, a meme for a fucking idiot. Did his face, did he look at Twitter and go, oh, wow, it's me, people are... And then his face just dropped, going,
Wait. Me dumb? Am me dumb?
But surely when you're that dumb, you can't comprehend being wrong.
Me no dumb dumb. He's probably one of those guys who sort of sees it and goes like, hey! And then they're all in the pub going like, oh, watch out, he's on Twitter, whatever. And then they just forget about it. Also, there's a rainbow. Look at that.
Oh, out of Pierre's window is a rainbow. Just as the Letwin bill passes, a rainbow is erected across the country.
It's a big old rainbow too. And it's close. That gold is ours.
One end is in Ireland, where the leprechaun with a pot of gold will be.
Yeah.
And the other end is joining us.
That's why we can't have a hard border in Ireland. Leprechauns hate boundaries.
Yes, they dance all over those borders.
If you try and stop a leprechaun from roaming where he pleaseth, big problem.
I like to write a story about a leprechaun who's really rich from his pot of gold and just becomes like a crime lord.
Well, just hangs on to it.
Yeah, and uses it to bribe his way across the border and... I mean, not that you could
be a really funny example of you, like, as a guy from Malaysia originally, writing a massively inflammatory thing, but like by mistake, by starting with the perfectly valid myth of the leprechaun and turning it into this thing where you go, what are you accusing people of? What are you saying? Like, oh, it's a metaphor, you know, the Sinn Féin and the pro-Irish Republic people they're leprechauns and they're evil and greedy. And they use their gold to... Everyone, oh, man, I want you to write that now because it would upset everyone. But yeah, then that seems to be...
And people complain, I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah, you just be like, huh? There's a what?
Oh, I thought you guys all... Oh.
You could just be like, I just thought Northern Ireland, you're just being very specific.
Yeah.
Just like that bit of it.
Yeah, like the south.
The north.
The deep south, the high north.
Yeah, the highlands, whatever.
North of Ireland.
Yeah.
The north of Ireland.
Go to Belfast.
I've been to Belfast, the most terrifying place. I did a gig, the only time I ever performed in Belfast, I went and performed at the Queen's Theatre? I can't remember what it's called.
Mm.
But... The compere was Northern Irish and just destroying. Like, people loved him. He was talking about the Catholics and the proddies. And people were like, yeah.
Where are you from? Ballymena. And everyone's like, here's like it's from Ballymena. Local gear.
Yeah, local gear just destroying it.
Yeah.
And then he goes, anyway, your first act is Phil Wang. And then I come on. And at first they see my face and they think, no, I don't think so. And I start talking in this voice and they literally... Everyone just turns around, just walks to the bar.
Really?
The only face that doesn't go away that I see is this man who's pressed right up against the stage, looking right up at me, and he's just got a huge black eye. Just staring me down. And I thought, fuck this. And when I left the gig after I'd done the performance, one of the nicer Northern Irish men... sort of as in an attempt to sort of extend an olive branch, said to me, hey, well done. Howdy, partner. He thought I was American.
Oh, my God.
I said, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me, sir. Thank you, sir.
And then I went and went back to the hotel where I think must have been where Fern vomited and pooed everywhere.
Where Fern did her incredible dance routine.
Yeah, where a bra pinged off. She vomited so hard.
God.
A classic story.
And she rocketed up the wall like a Catherine wheel. Oh, my God. A single man with a black eye.
Yeah, just this lone man just pressed his chest up against, pressed against the stage looking up at me.
Oh, my
God. Some black eye.
Who else was on the... Were you the only non-Northern Irish comedian on the bill?
No, the closer was a guy called Adam Vincent, who's Australian, and he did well, but he came on, like, aggressive.
He
matched there, and they...
Yeah.
They relate to that.
Yeah, he came on, and he punched him in the face. I wonder if it's because they thought you were American, and you were just going to be like, my grandfather was Irish, and, like, do a bunch of, like, American-Irish nonsense, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're not like, they don't have a great reputation in terms of their knowledge of what the deal actually is in Ireland, the Yanks.
Oh, yes, of course.
So they wouldn't have been optimistic about you if they thought you were American. Well, they're just all racist.
I mean, there might have been some pretty racist.
You never know.
I mean, they did not react very well to hearing my name and seeing my face.
No, it's a sign of something. And it would be more likely to be racism with your name. It's not like your name is Cornelius Fittlepottle and they thought you were super English. Or Brad New York. The most American man in the world.
Chad Steak. Johnson Barbecue.
Dash Gun Rights.
Dash. Ah, of the main... I forgot what he said.
The Boston Gun Rights.
The Boston Gun Rights.
Well, if it isn't Tex abortion protest.
Oh, I've just got real sleepy.
Yeah, like, dude, that Lexus hit me like a fucking freight
train. Well, because I went out last night, dear listener. I went raving. This is great insider knowledge. Wang loves a rave.
Wang will rave until he's in a cave.
Yeah, I'll rave in a cave. I'll rave with the best of them. Yeah. And the worst.
And the worst.
And I still got plenty of sleep, but if I have a big rave the next day, I get sleepy at... I bet it's 4 p.m. now, is it? Okay, 20 minutes to 4. I will get tired at 4.
Yeah.
Without fail.
That's our time limit on this.
Yeah.
For our Wang crash.
I'm tired now already.
Yeah, well, I can feel like... If you don't know, listeners, Laksa is essentially coconut milk spicy soup.
Yes, it's pretty heavy stuff.
It's heavy. It was a heavy boy that I ate.
Mm.
It was a heavy lad.
It's like a savory glass of hot chocolate to get you to sleep.
Yes, 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 yes. So you can drift off and have spicy, spicy dreams.
Just chilies dancing around.
Ooh, little glasses of milk going, no, no, no. Like taunting you, no, no, no. Bowls of ice cream you can't quite reach. Ah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone's mouths are on fire. It's like Twin Peaks. Or indeed the Simpsons episode that parodied Twin Peaks.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. That's the one where Maggie shot Mr. Burns. Spoiler alert, everyone. Maggie. Sorry about that. It was Maggie. Sorry, Phil.
Shit. I was going to watch it when I got home.
I know. It's all on Netflix now. Imagine if they put all of The Simpsons on Netflix. I'd love to see the stats for how many people stop watching after season like 11, where people just go, no.
It's still going.
It's still going.
Still going. They've run out of stories, surely.
The fact it's still going is genuinely, it's almost creepy.
Yeah. You look at it and go, who are you doing this for? Did you sign a deal? Obviously you signed a deal, but did you sign a deal with the devil? Is your soul trapped? Are you cursed?
But also, like, there's a thing that the listeners might not know about, which is it's a phenomenon that happens to characters who are supposed to be stupid. So it's happened to Homer Simpson. It happened to Joey and Friends.
Ah.
It's sort of called something like idiocy inflation.
Yeah.
And so in order to keep the show like fresh and like it changes writers all the time because it's an American show. So all these shows have different writers.
Mm.
Over time, they'll want to be like more and more extreme. And so if you compare season one, Homer Simpson, or season one, Joey, they're sort of like a bit ditzy.
Yeah.
Like, I accidentally left the tap running or whatever. And Homer Simpson is like, just like your classic... slightly buffoonish father in any advert,
mm-hmm.
where people add dads in adverts apparently can't work. Kettles, door handles, things like that. So it's just a bit like, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I left the tap running on the... Whatever. And then now, it's like they're verging on requiring hospitalization.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where Homer Simpson is like, me boo ba boo boo, and he's like trying to eat fire. And like, it's
either... and Joey's drinking out of the toilet.
Joey's going like, I've never heard of a ball. What's a ball? People kick them? Like, it's amazing. They become like, it would be a legal gray area as to whether you could employ those people. Like, they don't fully understand any contract, so it's not quite fair for you to try and employ them. And so as a result, there's this real... horrible phenomenon now where The Simpsons, every single episode is Lisa learns something or Homer and Marge's relationship is in trouble again.
Mm.
And you could watch it as an enormously long arc of a one man, an already inadequate man, slide into a sort of early dementia. And his wonderful wife's struggle to cope with what was probably an error in the first place, but has only gotten worse.
Imagine if that was the plan the whole time. The intention with The Simpsons was this long story about a man's slow decline into dementia.
Into insanity.
Yeah. Or and they never age, which makes it all the more tragic, because he remains a relatively young man, but just his dementia gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, and Bart's future becomes more and more hopeless.
Yeah.
It's this terrible decline. And Lisa just becomes more and more kind of avatar for most of Twitter.
But they predicted Trump, Pierre. They predicted President Trump those cartoons they made after he became president.
And then like all...
that people keep still posting as if it happened years before.
And all those children of the revolution, Phil, they all get killed in the end. Then they got cancelled because of Apu.
Of course.
Apu was the problem. And then there was a Dr. Harry Kondabolu.
Kondabolu.
He did the documentary about the Apu. And then lots of people said they liked him, and lots of people said they didn't, and Harry Shearer was all grumpy, and he's old now.
I've still not seen that film. I need to see it.
No, I haven't seen it either.
Make my mind up. I'm not sure.
It's I mean, it would obviously be unacceptable if it was him in person.
Right. Well, so you think because it's a cartoon, it's a little more okay?
Well, I mean, if it was, it's more okay than if it was Harry Shearer browned up.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that would have been unacceptable in the 80s.
The Trudeau special
of The Simpsons, where everyone's, it's live action, but everyone's painted. yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't care, really. It doesn't affect me. I'm going to tap out on this one. I don't have to have an opinion on everything.
I do have an opinion on this, and it's quite spicy, but I'm too tired to say it with any confidence.
We'll save it for next time when we both want to be canceled.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow. Who would have thought that I could make such incredible changes in my life just from cutting out dairy and gluten and beef and sunlight, air, direct contact with other human beings. I'm floating in space in a bubble made of a sort of synthetic gel. Well, I have to say, I've never slept better. And I'd better sleep, because here in the bubble made of gel floating in the dark blackness between galaxies, I'm going to need to sleep to conserve as much energy as possible, so that when I crash land on whatever habitable planet this sentient bubble is taking me to, I'm able to burst through it still with my claws, like a terrifying alien, probably, from the point of view of whoever already lives there. If anyone does. We'll see. But I'm going to have to burst out of there with enough energy and passion to still have the muscular capability to lay this egg I'm growing. And you know what? I can't wait.
Did you know, on the subject, though, of incompetent dads, I think it's now illegal or kind of illegal to depict dads as useless at housework in adverts.
They did do something, didn't they? The ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority, there was some ruling where they were like, we really must stop people, like dads going like, huh. And it's got an option to show football facts, so even he will look at it or whatever. And you go, oh, come on, mate.
It's pathetic.
It's very depressing.
Yeah.
I guess it's the same as you couldn't have like a... Even your wife will understand this calculator. It's got that tone to it.
Oh, man, I love those old sexist ads. I love them so much. It's like seeing a Nazi uniform. It's like, I'm against this, but God, it looks good. It's something about this, like...
You're saying
some kind of classy, classic sort of...
A sexist 50s advert is the Hugo Boss of...
Yeah.
Of advertising.
It's like that whole Mad Men thing where you watch that show and you go, oh, they're being really terrible to all these women, but... Oh, those suits are nice.
I like whiskey.
Whiskey in the day. Yeah, why not? Maybe it was worth it. I don't know. Maybe it was worth it.
I'm amazed that they weren't just having fights all the time.
Drunk fights.
Whiskey is such an angry drink.
Is it?
I think it angers up the blood.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't anger me.
That's its reputation.
Oh.
Gin make like too much, I mean.
This thing.
Gin makes people cry, is the old myth.
Widow's ruin. Mother's ruin.
Mother's ruin.
But...
Widow's delight.
Yes, of course. No more pesky mother-in-law crying about a dead son. Widow's delight. I kind of don't buy... I've never been able to completely buy the idea that different alcohol has different effects on you. Because alcohol is just alcohol, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing. It can't...
Have we had this conversation before?
Maybe. I don't think it can be scientifically true, but it's the same as when... Someone points out, like, like Finn Taylor, friend of the show, good old comedian Finn Taylor. Congrats on getting married the other day.
Yes.
Finn used to have a routine about how people would
say, another one.
lost another one to the old
poor drink on the ground for our lost brother.
Old ball and chain. It was nice seeing him for the last time. I've been distracted by hackery.
I love it.
Someone tried turning marriage off and on again.
Another thing I love, the institution of marriage. I love one of my obsessions, and like friends that will now send me photos of it in shops if they come across them, are like basic bitch signs to put up in your house, yep, or in your kitchen.
Yeah.
So like...
I know a guy who unironically has a house full of them with his wife, and they put it on Instagram all the time.
Oh,
it's brutal.
So it's things like every man's house is his castle, but his wife is the dragon. It's all this kind of fucking garbage. Or like a clock face where instead of numbers it all says wine, and
which if you take it literally is a harrowing,
yeah, really harrowing,
a horrible depiction. Clock face. You go. Go to
or
hospital.
Like just signs like whatever is the question, coffee's the answer. All these sort of things that real people buy and put in their homes, yeah, and have to see every day. I love them.
And
I love them.
And there's a sign like plenty of people have eaten things from this kitchen and no one's died yet. Something like that. I remember there's some sign like that, like about the standard of cooking in a sort of humorously self-deprecating way.
Or like, I saw an ad for, or like I saw a photo of these two glasses that are like his and her glasses, and one says written on it, he swiped right, and the other one says she swiped right.
Oh, that is disgusting.
No,
oh, that is awful.
in all seriousness, talk to someone.
Please do go to hospital for your brain worms.
Yeah, brain worms.
Finn did that routine about how some people say, oh, tea has more caffeine than coffee.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, but it doesn't make you shit yourself.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's like, as you say, but surely caffeine is caffeine. But maybe it's left-handed versus right-handed molecules, Phil. Maybe the compound is slightly altered. Maybe there's a little...
Well, the difference between tea and coffee, isn't it, that tea does have, like, by volume more caffeine in it, but it isn't released. Because of the way it is brewed. Because coffee, it is released.
That's probably it, isn't it? Yeah, but then that's the thing—the alcohol thing. You sort of go, it can't be true, but feels true.
But I feel now I'm a better drunk on good wine, like good wine, which I'm now obsessed with.
Yes.
I'm better conversation. I don't slur or anything. I'm vibrant and fun.
It could be something else, like sulfides or pollutants.
Maybe it's stuff that goes around it.
Yeah, all the horrible low quality stuff. Because yeah. I definitely think that you get a worse headache from cheap wine.
Oh yeah, I mean I can't drink cheap. I mean this is the cuntiest thing I'll ever say, but I cannot drink cheap wine anymore. It makes me sick. And It's like an instant headache.
A cheap red wine headache is like having a small steel ball in the center of your mind and it's growing.
Yeah.
It's just expanding to fill your head. It's so sharp. And yeah. You're so dehydrated. George Fouracres of Daphne and friend of this parish.
Yes.
He and I used to describe it as cranberry head.
Because your head
you'd
gets
have
like
you'd have like a bottle or two of red, watch bad red, like 3 pound red wine.
And girls eat your head to help with their UTIs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You'd wake up in the morning and your headache would be so bad, and you'd be so dehydrated. It's like if your neck tapered to just a single cranberry. Like that was your head, like this tiny, a tiny furious red berry on top of your neck, just going, just this dried cranberry that you have to talk through now. It's horrific. You have to rehydrate your little cran head.
I, to my credit, have not had a really bad hangover for ages now.
Really?
Yeah, and I was so good last night. I was dancing and dancing and dancing, having a great old time. I've just been sent a video of me dancing. That's very embarrassing because I'm going for it. I had a really good time. And I was like, yeah, whoa, yeah, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Yeah, 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 wiggle, 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 wiggle. Wow. And then just within a matter of seconds, my body just went, ah. Like I felt like I'd got the whole thing out of my system. And I just instantly calmed down and leant over to my friend and said, I'm going to go now.
Oh, wow.
And I just I walked to the tube and I had a little walk home and just walked off the rest of the energy and then just went to bed and went to sleep.
Today
I feel great.
That's very graceful.
Yeah, I've never felt so clear. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fun, 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 fun. Ah, fun. All right. Good night, everyone. I'd never had it like that before.
What about after the wedding the other day, though? Did you not have... Because the next day, that was my last sort of hangover, where it wasn't like a headache or sick, but my head was in...
At Finn's wedding?
Yeah, yeah. I was the next day, I was very slow, and my head was like it was encased in a very warm fog.
Yeah, well, I didn't drink too much.
Did you not?
No.
You old sauce pot, you.
Thank you. Also, I'm also drinking quite... a lot over longer periods of time now, and I'm building up a tolerance again.
That could be it.
That could be it.
Naughty
definitely.
Boy.
Naughty wine man.
You're going to have a cranberry head before you know it.
And I'll squeeze it and step on it and make a lovely cranberry wine and then drink it back into the cranberry.
and pour it into the hole that used to be your head. What a vivid... That's the clock in your head. There's wine every number. It's wine now. That's who you are, Phil. You don't have to buy the clock for it to be true. Don't talk to me till I've had my coffee is already like... Meh.
That's classic.
But it's really upsetting. It's don't talk to me till I've had my gin. You're like, oh my God. Yeah, I'm calling social services.
The other subcategory of those signs is the old fashioned drawings of people in like suits and stuff, and they're smiling and holding a beer.
Yeah,
and just says like, Joe thinks you're a cunt.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. It doesn't look like it does because he's sort of quite well dressed and it's old fashioned.
Yeah, it's a 1940s portrait.
Yeah.
Of like a housewife holding up a bake yes. tray of like yes. lasagna or a casserole.
Yeah,
and she's going. Rim me or get out.
Rim me or get out.
And she's smiling. She's got pearl necklace on and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. Or a lady sort of holding up a cup of coffee, smiling, and it says, "Today was the day that Judith found out." All those men she murdered were vegans.
A man in an old-timey bathing suit with a big mustache who's doing a big thumbs up with his little hat on. And he's saying, I just sucked off another 10 men in that changing room. And you go, oh, that... Ugh.
That actually sounds quite funny. I'd like to buy that one. I'll give you any amount of money. How much do you want for that?
I want £10.
I'll give you £10 for that sign.
Yeah.
That sounds hilarious.
It's on good card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was a brand like Good Card.
Good Card.
Where you can put blowjobs jokes on.
Good Card. It's rude, but it's modern. It's old, but it's new.
Does Moonpig have any rules about what you can put on their cards? I've always wondered this.
Moonpig.com. And it's just swastikas and libel.
Yeah, there must be something.
The Prime Minister is a convicted sex offender. Says a black and white photo of Hitler that we've superimposed, you know, Nelson Mandela's face onto. And just go, I'd like this for my father's birthday.
And could you send it to everyone in the borough of Camden?
I saw in Leeds train station, I think it was, an actual physical moonpig.com outlet.
Oh, physical.
And it was being shut down.
Man.
First victim of Brexit, yeah. Moonpig.
Yep.
It's the ones with the most irritating adverts first, everyone.
The customizable greetings card industry has always been on the vanguard of our economic policies.
Well, I could see the laxer bubbling up into Phil's mouth while he was talking there.
Well, speaking of letters and cards, we should read some letters.
Let's do it. They're good cards, they're good cards. Photos from the 50s, sentiments from the noughties, and they're naughty sentiments, that is, on the good cards. Black and white ladies standing in the kitchen, holding up delicious food, but the caption, something from Tinder. A man dressed as a construction worker in 1920s New York. He's looking at the camera, but he's not saying something appropriate. It's from Grindr. It's implied he's gay, even though it's a traditional-looking picture. And the caption makes reference to modern technology like mobile phones in a way that you know is not chronologically appropriate. And you buy them as a birthday card for someone who's got a sense of humor, but not too much of one.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
Ryan gets in touch.
Ryan, why are you spying on the Bud Pod?
Yes, and I will say, apologies, listeners, if we haven't got to your correspondence, we're behind by I'd say a week and a half or so.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Okay.
It's built up again. The old sediment.
Yes, pick up the pace, I guess.
Greetings, Brothers P.
Nice.
I have a whimsical little poo tale you may well appreciate.
It never stops being funny. What? It will never stop being funny.
It's both educational and hilarious, he says. It happened when I was living in China.
I'm listening.
And working as an English teacher in a primary school with super young children aged between 2 and 12. In lieu of nappies, toddlers in China wear a wonderful garment known as split pants.
Oh, I'm not into this.
Which is merely a pair of trousers with a hole cut into them.
No.
Around the key areas. So parents can simply hold their non-toilet trained children over plants, bins, gutters, etc. For them to do their business without any need for a change of clothing afterwards. Mm. Google it at your own risk.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, I don't want that in my history.
No. I found this out the hard way by trying to play a game with some three-year-old children that involved them sitting in a circle and me rolling a ball to them, with the recipient of the ball saying something in English. It was my first week in the country, and I was yet to come across the split pants, as they are remarkably well hidden sometimes, leaving me woefully unprepared for the eyeful of children's genitalia that greeted me upon sitting down. A truly harrowing sight. Naturally, I confused everyone in the classroom by immediately making them all stand up to play a different game that involved fewer...
Come on, kids. Sit down in the ring. Sit down. Oh, get up.
Let's all stand now.
Good. That's part of the game. Well done.
Good standing, everyone.
Good listening. That's the first test. Oh.
That involve fewer opportunities for kids to come free and fewer chances for my belongings to contact their nether zones.
My belongings.
After
right, his ball.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. However, after the initial surprise, I soon learned to live with the occasional sight of my tiny students' teeny tadgers. And eventually, after a while, I more or less stopped thinking about it. It was just part of life in China, which I was getting used to despite the initial culture shock. I was even doing pretty well with my Mandarin lessons, as my tutor had taught me a method of trying to relate my learning to everyday situations that was proving quite effective. Don't worry, this is going somewhere, he reassures us.
Good.
One day, such a situation arose from which I learnt the Mandarin word for slug. And he put it in characters here, bitichong.
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 Can I see?
Yeah. Towards the top there.
Towards the... Oh, bitichong.
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 Literally means snot worm, he says.
That
I don't think I'll ever forget. I saw a four-year-old child running through the classroom with something in his hand, shouting, biti chong, over and over again. I quickly got my phone out and searched for a translation of what he was saying. As I checked, I heard a squeal from one of my Chinese colleagues. Bushi biti chong.
Bushi. Boucher.
That's not a slug. Yeah, boucher.
Yeah.
It's a S-H-I.
Yeah.
It's hard even when they put it in English, Roman letters. Boucher, she yelled. I understand clear as day. That's not a slug. The other children were laughing uncontrollably at this point as the child set off again on another lap of the classroom, once again telling everyone he had acquired a pet slug. It turned out, as I'm sure you've figured out, one of his classmates had made use of their split pants and laid a small log on the floor. This young man saw it, had an idea, and quite literally picked it up and ran with it. Things took a turn for the worse when the child opened the classroom door and threw the turd slug out into the hallway, where the head teacher was showing around a couple. B.T. Chong!
Yes, we have nothing but the highest standards here at Smiling Valley Kindergarten. Slug! That's not a slug, oh my god!
It's a turd! What are you teaching these kids? Where the head teacher was showing around a couple who'd come to view the school. Needless to say, I didn't see them come back. I imagine they will have given the headmaster a brief howde, sheshe. Okay, thank you.
Howde. Howde. Oh, howde. Okay, that's okay, thank you, yeah.
Howde, sheshe.
Howde is okay. Howde.
Howde.
Sheshe.
Sheshe. Before swiftly leaving, never to return. Keep up the content, and as ever, keep jacking it. Ryan.
Well, the kid's not wrong. I mean, the slug is exactly how I described. If you can cast your minds back to the Bud Poo episode, where I had to sort of surgically take samples from a poo on the floor. It's very slug. It's like a big old slug. It was like I was performing an autopsy on a slug. So that kid's onto something.
Oh, that's right. I remember you saying you were like jabbing this.
Like, so it's like I was stabbing a slug on the floor to death.
Absolutely disgusting. so revolting.
But thanks, Ryan. That's really fun. Is Ryan still in China?
I don't think so from context. Let us know. We'll come back to you in fucking ages. Sorry.
I'll do a song while Pierre looks for the next letter. I've come to quite like doing these songs. It's a song to pass the time. It's a song that is all mine. It's a song that makes me wanna sing along. Sing along to my own song. Sing along to your own song. Sing along, let's all get along. Sing along to his song. Sing along to her song. Sing along to their song. Come on.
Yeah, we're gonna have to just cut this and make it faster. Hang on, sorry. Some of these are like good poo stories, but like it's just people shitting on stuff and like waking up and there's another shit on something. So I'll just quickly summarize one.
Okay.
And we'd like to thank George for getting in touch and to summarize it. He sent us the one about the person who took Imodium all the time to just to try and never shit.
Oh yeah,
the incredibly efficient bum.
Yeah.
They were drinking in this room. It was an L-shaped. This is when they're students.
L-shaped room
with an ensuite taking up like 25% of the room. He slept in the hallway section, and his other friends slept in the bed and they were beside the desk. They woke up hungover, thinking someone had farted. They looked around, and someone opened the laptop. And there was a turd on the laptop. And the turd wasn't on the keyboard or the trackpad, but on the sort of spare bit in the corner, quite artfully. So there was just
by the trackpad, next to the trackpad.
I think he means that on either side of the trackpad, because he said corners, actually.
Well, I mean, if you had to poop on a part of a MacBook, by the sounds of it, it's a good place to go. Oh no, lots of laptops are in that configuration. If you had to poop on a laptop, you'd go there. No cracks, no crevices for it to get stuck in.
Yeah.
Easy wipe off. Actually, quite a considerate way to poo on a laptop.
And strange when there's an ensuite.
Yeah.
That's the real mystery here.
Well, the person's so drunk they thought that the lid of the laptop was a toilet lid, and they lifted it up and did a poo. Is that?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I presumed, yeah. It's not a good idea. It's a terrible idea.
Well, your idea of what could have happened is a good idea.
That's a good theory.
It's certainly a bad idea to poo on your own laptop because you thought it was a toilet seat.
That's an old saying, which means to sort of sabotage yourself, to poo on your own laptop.
Never shit on your own laptop. That's what people say. The other day this happened again. Well, you know what they say, never shit on your own laptop.
I know, but...
in fact, it's one of those...
It's easy to say that now.
It's one of those cheesy signs you can get to put up in your kitchen. Never shit on your own laptop, embroidered on a big cushion.
Never shit on your laptop, get your wife's.
Right, sorry, we didn't get through much correspondence there, guys, but we were running late because of being full of coconut milk. Do, again, keep sharing and recommending stuff to your friends and writing in. We may have to do another correspondence special just to fire our way through.
Yeah, I love a correspondence special. I think
it's
really
worth
fun.
It because you guys are so great when you write in and so funny. And
we're only sorry
we can't read out every word of everything we've ever seen.
Sorry we're banging on today, wanging on and novellying on today about Brexit and coconut milk.
Yeah.
But next time we'll try and make more time for the correspondence.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.